Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, 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 calling all radio amateurs. This is WD8QCN, activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion, questions and answers regarding technical topics such as equipment, hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to the radio art. I was going to go back to basics tonight here. I have a topic for discussion. We're going to talk about electronic components, starting with various types of resistors. And I wonder if anyone else had a topic they wanted to throw out there for tonight as well. Please call WD8QCN. All right, hearing none, I'll read the piece here on resistors. Apologize if I'm running a bit slow tonight here. I've got a bad head cold, and it's making it a little bit difficult to talk and breathe at the same time here. As most of you already know from your license materials, a resistor is a device that, well, they say prevents current from flowing. I would say it restricts the flow of current. It is utilized in almost all electronic circuits. A resistor's primary function inside a circuit is to resist, regulate, or set the flow of electrons or current by utilizing the sort of conductive material from which they're made. There are several types of resistors available. In this post, you'll learn about the types. There are nonlinear resistors and linear resistors, first off. Types of nonlinear resistors include thermistors, varistors, and photoresistors. These may vary from linear resistors in that their resistance value fluctuates in response to temperature, light, or voltage, as opposed to the linear resistors, which obey Ohm's law and provide a relatively fixed value. It may depend on things such as temperature to a much lesser degree, much less sensitive. They may be also used to control the voltage in a circuit and are therefore forms of variable resistors. Nonlinear resistors are sometimes referred to as varistors. That is, if the current flowing through a resistor varies with body temperature, these resistors are referred to as thermistors. They are constructed from materials such as silicon carbides and zinc oxide. Linear resistors are resistors whose values change as a function of applied voltage and temperature. In other words, linear resistors are resistors whose current value is precisely proportional to the applied voltage. There are two types of linear resistors, fixed and variable. Fixed resistors are what we're all familiar with, the little cylindrical items on your circuit board, and variable resistors such as the pots on the front of your radio there. Fixed resistors have a single resistance value, whereas variable resistors or potentiometers have an unlimited number of resistance values. Fixed resistors are made from a variety of resistor materials. Therefore, I should say furthermore, a fixed resistor may be readily attached to the circuit and can handle higher voltages. They are, on the other hand, a little less stable, which means their temperature coefficient can be quite high. In addition, they produce a small noise compared to other types of resistors. Variable resistors have the general characteristic of allowing the resistance value to be adjusted. Mechanical movement is used to modify a majority of variable resistors. Potentiometers are what they're called when they're utilized in a variable voltage divider. And they're referred to as rheostats when they're employed as a variable resistance to regulate the current in the circuit. Four different types of fixed resistors. Carbon composition resistors, which use a carbon powder mixed with a ceramic material. Wire wound resistors. Thin film resistors, and thick film resistors. Wire wound resistors are used for higher power applications or lower resistance values in many cases. They're not great for RF frequencies because of the inductance resulting from the wound wire. Thin film resistors and thick film resistors, back to those. This type of resistor is one of the market's oldest components. These types of resistors were extensively used and are typically constructed of powdered carbon ceramic combination. Okay, they add another paragraph here about carbon. Although carbon composition resistors are still available on the market, they're typically more expensive and less used since other types of fixed resistors have more efficient specifications such as tolerance, voltage dependency, and stress thresholds. Wire wound resistors are produced by winding and insulating an insulated wire or rod around, insulated metal wire coiled around a non-conductive core made of ceramic, plastic, or glass. Metal wires are often made of extremely resistant alloys such as nichrome or manganin. Resistors like carbon composition resistors date back to the turn of the last century, yet they're still frequently used. They can withstand high power, remain stable at high temperatures, and provide long-term stability. They're, however, more expensive and can't be used in high-frequency equipment. Thin film resistors, you'll see those often in little light blue packages. They're used for high stability, high precision, low noise applications such as in medical devices, audio equipment, test and measurement instruments. More commonly, thick film resistors are used today, manufactured very much the same way as thin film resistors, with the exception that there is a thick film around the resistive material rather than a thin film or layer, and that's why they're referred to as thick film resistors. These fixed resistors are often used in consumer electronics, are built similarly to the thin film resistors that employ the thicker layers of metal oxides or ceramic oxides, as the name implies. These resistors are the most affordable and widely accessible, commonly found in any electrical equipment that uses a battery or AC power source. Then you have fusible links. These type of resistors provide two separate functions. They provide resistance to electrical current and operate as a fuse to break the circuit if there's an overload. Fusible resistors control current while also acting as a fuse in the event of a power surge. They're built similarly to wire-wrapped resistors and are widely used in high-end electronic products such as television sets, amplifiers, and safety monitoring and management systems. Then we have variable resistors. Potentiometers. These types of resistor are often regulated by dial or knob. They're made up of three terminals, with resistance value being controlled by moving a contact linked to a control shaft. The voltage across the resistor can be increased or decreased by twisting the control shaft. They're frequently found in audiovisual equipment and transducers. And as mentioned previously, these can be used either as a rheostat, where you tie two terminals together, or as a variable voltage divider. Variable resistors, also known as tap resistors, or variable wire-wrapped resistors, employ a sliding contact to adjust the voltage. The core of the resistor is built in the same way as wire-wound resistors are. These resistors, like potentiometers, are used to regulate the voltage in audiovisual equipment, transducers, and other products. And then other types of nonlinear resistors. Thermistors are used in consumer electronics, vehicles, thermometers, rechargeable batteries. They're used to detect minor temperature changes. When there is a temperature shift, no matter how little, resistance value increases dramatically. There are two terminal devices that are extremely temperature sensitive. In other words, they're a sort of variable resistor that detects temperature changes. Thermistors are comprised of cobalt, nickel, strontium, and manganese oxide metals. A thermocouple's resistance is inversely related to its temperature, which means that resistance increases as temperature decreases and vice versa. Varistors are types of resistors constructed from semiconductor materials such as silicon and ceramic metal oxides. The resistance value of these resistors changes with the circuit's applied voltage. Varistors can resist high DC voltage applications and are frequently employed as a transient voltage suppressor in telecommunication lines, radio devices, and power strips. Their properties make them excellent for use as overvoltage protection devices, and they're frequently employed as surge protectors. Come to the light-dependent resistor. The resistance of these varies with light exposure, as the name implies. These resistors are employed as light sensors and measuring equipment, as well as consumer electronics, photographic equipment, street lights, and similar applications. The resistance of light-dependent resistor varies with the intensity of the light falling on it. When it's not lit, they're commonly comprised of cadmium sulfide, which holds a tiny number of electrons. A couple of things to keep in mind when selecting the correct resistor type to use. One is power dissipation. You'll see commonly 1/8, 1/4, 1/2 watt specifications on power dissipation. You want to select the right size for the circuit that you're using the resistor in. Otherwise, it will burn itself to a crisp really quickly. Temperature coefficients are another consideration. These can be used at high temperatures. The temperature coefficient of a resistor is classified into two types, negative temperature coefficient, or NTC, and positive temperature coefficient, or PTC. A negative temperature coefficient resistance decreases as the temperature increases, and that can lead to a thermal runaway and burn up a circuit board in short order if you're overstressing the device. With a positive temperature coefficient, resistance rises as temperature around the resistor rises. As a result, the same idea applies to some temperature sensors such as thermistors. Normally, the temperature coefficients on fixed resistors are fairly small, unless we're talking about the nonlinear types. All I had for the technical topic for this evening, I did want to mention a couple of housekeeping items. Solar flux of 116 at the moment, so sunspot number of 87. There's a G1 storm going on at the moment. Looking at a planetary A index of 20 and a K of 4. We have the Leonid meteor shower coming up later this week. Let's see, Berryville Hamfest was today. Sorry I missed that, but with this cold, I didn't feel much like going out. We've got a club meeting this Thursday, the 11th, at 7:15 p.m., and the next BE session is Saturday, the 20th, at 9:30 a.m., the usual location in Stafford. WDAQCN with the FAR Sunday Night Technical Service Net. Does anyone have any additional announcements at this time? Please call now.
KHTV with a correction.
HTV, go ahead.
The Leonids don't occur until November. We're at the peak of the Perseids the past couple of days. And other than that, thanks for all the info on the resistors. Put me on the list and I'll be standing by.
I think I flipped them. I believe you're right. So Perseids coming up this week. Thank you for that, Rich. Going to take a round of check-ins. Got K1HTV on the list. Any others for the FAR Sunday Night Technical Service Net, please call WDAQCN now.
Oscar 4 with E Yankee X-ray.
W4RKU.
K4GG. AK4GG. Pause there just a second. There were a whole bunch of doubles. I've got K1HTV, KO4WYX, W4RKU, and AK4GG so far. Other stations I've missed that doubled, please call again.
K4BOS. 4 Oscar Zulu Hotel.
KO4VNZ in and out.
Okay, picked up K4BOX, KM4OZH, N7IDV, and KO4VNZ in and out. Any others, please call WDAQCN.
November 4, X-ray Charlie Hotel, in and out.
KN4QXD, in and out.
DJ7ATV.
KS1PPY, mobile, in and out.
Kilo Bravo 3, Alpha Romeo Zulu, Bob, in Maryland, in and out.
Pick up a few more there. I've got N4XCH, KN4QXD, KJ7APV, KS1PPY. Wow, there's a guy we haven't heard in a while. And another station there, 3ARZ. What was your prefix again, please?
Kilo Bravo 3.
Kilo Bravo 3, Alpha Romeo Zulu. Thank you for checking in. Any other check-ins for the FAR Sunday Night Technical Service Net, call WDAQCN now. All right, before we go through a round here, I have to pound the stump here for Sippy, since he's been tied up with work so much here lately. I'm going to take over some of the net management duties here. We need to get some more net control signed up, especially for Wednesday nights. I think Brad has been carrying Wednesdays pretty much on a weekly basis for a long time here, and we need to get some relief for him, as well as try to fill Sippy's spot here for a while on the second Sunday until he's able to come back up from the abyss there, as it were. Got a lot of regulars to check in almost every week. Being in net control isn't terribly hard. In here, I'm doing a halfway decent job of it here, even with a head cold. So if I can do it, and it's basically just reading a script and copying down call signs, please volunteer. Help the net out. Let's keep it running at full strength and give the officers and board members of the club a little bit of a break. So if anyone would like to sign up to be a net control on a Wednesday night, even, you know, one week a month even would be a big help. If we got two or three people to do it, that would make a big difference. More would be even better. Please get with me either on the net here when it's your turn or after the net. Give Sippy or myself a shout, and let's get you added to the list here. It's not a very hard job. I'll get off the soapbox. We'll kick it over to Rich, K1HTV. How are you tonight?
Hey, Steve. This is K1HTV. Sorry to hear that you're not feeling as well, but thanks for all the information about resistors. A lot I'd forgotten about, but they're used for so many things. They're so vital, and so many variations of them. So thanks for the info on resistors and the resistor sisters. Let's see, great time at the Ham Fest up at Berryville today. Ran to many friends, about three dozen that I had written down on a little notepad just to remind me some of the guys and gals I met. Of them, many from the Farrer group. The Farrer was well represented. Ran into Gil, KM4OZH, K2PI, and his three daughters, DC Michelle and Rachel, John AK4GG, Karen W4KRN, and her husband, Jim K4JJR. Of course, Ron K3FR. We sat down and chatted quite a bit there. K4POX, Garth and his son Oscar were there. K3SK, former member who is now down in Farmville. He had a good day a couple days ago, was able to work over to Kuwait on 6 meters, talked to Dave for quite a bit, and sat down with Becca, KJ78PV, outside one of the buildings, and chatted quite a bit. KO4VNZ, Chuck, Angel, N3R3N, and Ross, N4RP, and his XYL, Beth, and I had to help Ross jumpstart his car to get it going. He was on the end of one of the lines, and I was selling some of his equipment. But good time to see so many para friends and many other friends there. Okay, on the propagation, yeah, the K-index is up a bit. Solar flux is up a bit. HF bands up the past 3 days have been quite good. 20-meter openings to Asia in the morning and the evening. 17 meters mid-morning to late morning, early afternoon to Asia. Excuse me. And 6 meters the past 3 days have been open. Surprise, late in the season, did work into Europe 3 days ago. And then 2 days ago, another short opening to Europe. Plus Kuwait a couple of days ago. Did not work them, but called for about 5 minutes. That's the day that K3SK worked them down in Farmville. So interesting that the 6 meter band is still open. It did make 1 meteor scatter contact on the Perseids. Worked K0, an N0 out in Missouri. So meteors were hopping. The peak was supposedly yesterday into today. I did not get on this morning, and there probably will be meteors on the Perseids for days to come. So that's about it for now. Back to net control, and thanks again, Steve, for doing that. This is K1HTV.
Thanks for that, Rich. Good stuff all around. And, yeah, again, real sorry I missed Berryville. That's one of my favorites. So you jump down to Matt, KO4WYX. How are you tonight, and what's new in your world?
This is KO4WYX. Nothing too new. I did stop by the Berryville Ham Fest. That was my first Ham Fest. I picked up a hat. I think that's the rule, right? First Ham Fest, pick up a hat with your call sign and name on it. So I made that happen. Saw a few club members. Walked around. Didn't see any deals that I was looking for, but I wasn't really... not really in the market for anything major. I was looking at some antennas, but there wasn't anything that was screaming, buy me. But it was a great experience. There's a lot of people there. A little warm, but really, really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to next year going back and then catching all the ones in the local area. Hopefully I'll have a little more free time next year. Real quick on the TechNet on resistors, I don't have much to add other than I recall back 25 plus years ago in tech school sitting with guitar amps cleaning dirty potentiometers with like contact cleaner, trying to get the sound to be not so scratchy and stuff like that. Just every time I hear about resistors, I go to that memory of sitting at a tech bench with like three or four guitar amps that buddies of mine dropped off while I was still going through tech school trying to clean potentiometers and stuff like that. But that's all I got. This is KO4WYX. I'm back to Matt.
Matt, thanks. KO4WYX, WD8QCN in the net. Yeah, I remember, I think I had a worse experience when I was a co-op at the FAA at Salt Lake Center. I wasn't cleaning potentiometers so much as it was the frequency select switches. Mechanical monsters, lots and lots of little silver-plated contacts in there, and you couldn't really clean them with contact cleaner. You had to sit there with a contact burnisher and go through every single set. Yeah, that was a pain, and unfortunately, I apparently did a really good job because they started bringing me big piles of them and said, here, you're good at this, do more. I had to get bad at it real quick. All right, down to Kevin, W4RKU. How are you tonight?
WD8QCN, W4RKU. Good evening, Steve. Thank you for pulling the net duty tonight, even if you had a cold. That's the spirit. And thank you for the recruitment message at the beginning. You started talking about resistors. You took me back way back to high school and learning the color codes and having them. I had tests that had where the color code was. You had to write out the correct color code or at least write the right value with the color code, including the tolerance. But that's way long ago. I did the North American CUSA Party CW a bit yesterday. Nothing fabulous there. Frankly, I felt like I was doing a long CWT because most of the guys who participate in that or participating yesterday. There was an opening on 6 meters today, and we had quite a few contacts, and even got to Balearic, the islands. Sorry, pronunciation is not my skill, but I made a hop across the Atlantic on 6 meters, which was cool. Outside of that, I have nothing else to add, and I will turn it back to you, and thank you again for doing the net. WDAQCN, W4RKU.
Thanks for that, Kevin. Much appreciated. And I have to get with you after the net here and figure out what your comments meant here for NetLogger, because the options you had mentioned seem to be grayed out at the moment here. And I'm not pulling the club info, so I'll think about that later. Let's see. I think AK4GG is up next. John, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Steve, and the rest of the group. Thanks very much for doing the net with a head cold. It can't be too much fun. Berryville, very nice weather, gentle breeze running through the place. It wasn't quite as hard as it could be. Seemed to be quite a lot of people there. I talked to quite a few vendors, or sellers, I should say, I guess. They seemed a bit disappointed in the sales they were doing, but I noticed that some of the prices had sort of increased quite a bit. Things that were should be about 50 cents for a couple of bucks, and things that should be, 100 bucks or so had whistled up in price. But nonetheless, it was a good turnout, and certainly lots of tube stuff there and that. Some guy tried to sell me a $25 signal generator, so I guess, if you're looking for a fairly heavy-duty equipment that's tube-based, it's certainly a good show to go to. And, of course, the lunch at 11 o'clock was delicious as usual. Rich said, it was good to meet everybody there and see that everybody was enjoying themselves. Yes, I do. I did, on his advice, I did pick up a hat with my call sign on it. So I guess I feel like I'm part of the group if I've got the hat with the call sign. Nothing else to report, Steve. Hopefully I'll be doing a presentation this Thursday on radar that doesn't put everybody to sleep, but we'll just see how it goes. Yeah, nothing else. Perhaps I could do some net controller duties too. Anyway, back to you. WD8QCN, AK4GG.
John, thanks very much for that. Looking forward to your presentation there at the club meeting. That sounds very interesting. And yeah, Roger, on the call sign hat, I think my wife hid mine. It was a bit ostentatious. Had it made at a show back in Ohio back in the late 80s when I was heavily into the satellite stuff. It was a little poke at Ted Turner there. I had mine Superstation WD8QCN. If you ever go over to my shack, you still see a few old Dymo labels with that on it on various older pieces of gear. But that was a tongue-in-cheek poke at Ted Turner. So fun stuff. And yes, we'll definitely cycle back with you about the NCS stuff here. I think all of the materials are still posted on the club website. So make sure you get access to that and get you up to speed here. So thank you very much for that. Let's jump down to Garth, K4BOX. How are you tonight?
WD8QCN, this is K4BOX. Thanks for running the net. I had a wonderful time at Berryville with my son. It was his first ham fest, and he had a blast. He picked up a few small things that he paid for with his own money out of savings that he had said that he wanted to buy, so that was pretty cool. I picked up a mag loop antenna, which I've never had any experience with, so I've been tinkering with that since I got home. So yeah, it was a really good time. You know, I bumped into Rich and a few other Faro members, and in particular, Oscar was able to meet kind of a semi-mentor from the Bluebonnet net that he hadn't met before in person. He'd been speaking with him for like 2 years over the radio. So that was really cool. So it was a good day. It was really fun. As far as running a net, I ran a net earlier in the year, and I agree with you. It's not particularly difficult. And I wouldn't mind picking up some more. Unfortunately, Wednesdays are like my worst day as far as work. I'm in meetings all day, so by the time I'm done with work, I'm generally burnt out. But I might be able to pick one up, so I'll drop you an email, and we'll see if I can pick one up a month or something like that. So anyway, thanks again for running the net. This is K4BOX, back to net.
Right, very good. Thanks, Garth. Much appreciated. And I'll add you to the list there. I think perhaps you can fill in one of the Sundays there. I think Sippy was on the schedule for the second Sunday of the month, so that'd be next week. If you can do that, I will get you set up with the appropriate materials here. That'll be much appreciated. Mag loop sounds like fun, too. It says WD8QCN with the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net. Next up is Gil, KM4OZH. How are you, sir?
WD8QCN, this is KM4OZH. Well, good evening, Steve, and everybody on the net. And thanks for the nice talk on resistors. Well done. And so I also went to Berryville today. I usually try to go. It's always a good experience there. And I did speak with numerous Faro members, so that was all good. And the weather was good. He said it was a little bit warm there later on, but I brought rain gear along because a lot of times there's a threat of rain there at the Clark County Fairgrounds this time of year. But I think that means that I had rain gear, it kept it away. And I did my normal small part restock, and I did do some deals on some. I kind of stay focused on a Dalkey 60 series coax relays. And it was always difficult to find those relays with 12 volt coils, and everybody wanted ridiculous amount of money for them because they were 12 volt coils. So I started rewinding all the 110 volt coils to 12. So now I don't have to pay attention to that. And but it's funny. Some guys still want a lot of money for those things. And of course, and I bought two that were perfectly fine for $15 a piece. So I like those because they're totally disassemblable and the parts are interchangeable. So you can buy a piece of junk over here and another piece of junk over there for a couple bucks and put them together and make a relay out of it. So there you go. That's about all I got for this evening. And so we'll turn it back over to Nat. This is KM4OZH.
Well, sounds good. Yeah, coax relays. I've got a big stack of SMA relays. Yeah, let me know if you want any of those. I think they're 24-volt coils. They're sealed units, and they have TTL position signaling. So yeah, if you're interested, let me know. I've probably got a box full of those someplace. And then on to Brad in 7IVV. How are you tonight?
WDAQCN in 7IVV. Good evening, Steve and everybody. Doing okay. I'm not having any fun. I've been fighting with Windows 10 and moving programs, but trying to get my weather satellite stuff set up on a different computer, and I guess Nick mentioned the other day, maybe it was just to me, that Celestrac is changing the format of the two-line elements, and I'm having a hard time now getting the programs to update properly with those, and digging down through files to figure out where to change the defaults, and nothing is ever easy. Radio-wise, just, gosh, lots of FT8 as usual, and interesting watching the propagation rise and fall during the night and morning. I'll have to get on and kind of keep an eye on 6 meters for a while here and see what's coming up with that. I haven't been doing that too much because there's usually so little activity. So, anyway, thanks again for doing the net. And I'll catch all you guys later in 7IVV.
Thanks, Brad. Real quick, do you have a preference if John is going to pick up a Wednesday night? Which one you want to donate?
All of them.
Figured. All right. We'll see how much he's willing to do here. Try to get you some relief. All right. Down to, let's see, Charles, KO4VNZ was in and out, had to... N4XCH, also in and out. Robert, thank you both for joining us. I think next up then is Dan, KN4QXD.
Yeah, this is KN4QXD. I'm in and out tonight. Listen only.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks for checking in. Next then is Becca, KJ7APV. How are you tonight?
W4VA, this is KJ7. I'm doing well.
Looks like you're right on the handheld there, Becca. You dropped the repeater after a couple words. See if you can find a good spot and try again.
Keep going down the list.
After that, we'll come back at the end here. KS1PPY, I think you were in and out, but you have anything you want to add? I think we can't get to the radio. See, last on the list is Bob, KB3ARZ. How are you tonight, my friend? KB3ARZ, you're up. Okay, missing at the moment. We'll take another call for any additional check-ins or rechecks. Please call WD8QCM for the Far SMA Night Tactical Service Net.
This is K1RA.
WB7RAB in and out.
Whiskey 4, Mike Alpha Foxtrot. Mike, currently traveling to Richmond from Berryville for as long as I have a signal via EchoLink.
On HTV, recheck. Okay, I've got K1RA, WD7RAV, WD4MAF, Mike on EchoLink, and K1HTV, recheck. Let's take our EchoLink station first here, WD4MAF. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much. I am still traveling home from Berryville. I did a summit on the air activation on Blue Mountain today. Also went over to a park. Just had a leisurely drive back. So I got to meet the famous K1HTV, who's, I guess, coming up at some point tonight. And I got to meet many of the others that are part of the club. It was a pleasure. I think I met most of you in the lunch line. We were at the front end at the door waiting to get in. And, boy, they kind of baked you. We had to stand in line 20 minutes. It was a bit hot outside. But, hey, my pick for the food, because I'm all about food, was the beef. I like the beef, and people like both. and got to meet one of the, I believe he's a member of the club, Suki. I don't remember his call sign. He came in on his motorcycle. He left with a power supply, so hopefully onward and upward for him having a home station there. And we brought him up to Blue Mountain with us as well, so it was a pleasure getting to meet him and everyone else. That's about it. This is W4MAF, back to Net Control.
Sounds like a great time. Multitasking weekend there, Mike. Super stuff. Thanks for checking in tonight. So you'll bounce back up to K1RA. How are you, Andy?
Hey, good evening, Steve, and everyone on the net. It was good to see some faces at Berryville. Saw Mike and Suki, who is K04KIS. Had a nice 20-30 minute conversation with him over the lunch table after we had a good meal. I did the half and half, barbecue chicken and beef, which was great. Saw a number of farm members, but I apparently missed a bunch who I heard here on the net that were there. If you saw me, you couldn't miss my... you graduate from the call sign hat to the call sign T-shirt with the big K1 on the front and the big RA on the back. For those who saw me, the big letters for the DX who can see me from a distance. Only picked up one item, an ND adapter, for $2, a big purchase. But I was really there to look for faces, people I hadn't seen in a couple of years due to COVID and like a ham fest, so that was nice. Some interesting stuff in the flea market area, but nothing that I absolutely needed. I did go up with my dad, Q1HTV, and Mark K4SO, so had a good conversation on the way up and back. As far as radio activities, some of you saw online, I got my Kraken SDR in the mail the other day, so I'm playing with that. Still looking for the software online. The guys haven't published the link yet. But did do some reading and realize that you can actually use it as five separate receivers, so I may use it with some of the other old RTL software in the meantime under that configuration. Also rebuilding my online web SDRs into a nice rack shelf to put in the 19-inch rack to get it off the table where it's kind of been spread out haphazardly over the last couple of years. Time to clean that up. And that's about it. Back to net. This is K1RA.
It sounds great. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate you checking in tonight. WB7RAV. Andy, how are you?
WB7RAV. In and out. On phone call.
Just in the net. Gotcha. All right, then. Bounce back down to Rich for a recheck.
K1HT. I was going to mention some others. In addition to the 16 AMs that I had mentioned that from the club, that are associated with the club, we're user repeater regularly. I forgot to mention that driving up, as Andy said, with him, K1RA and K4SO. Sat down, had a great dinner, of course, with the chicken and the beef, had the mix, and, of course, the coleslaw and the beans and a lot of other goodies. And, of course, the lemonade. Also, when we got out of the car, first people we ran into was Dave, N7RC, and Katie, K4TER, sat parked right next to us. And, of course, met Suki for the first time after talking with him on the repeater. And, of course, W4MAF. So I think it was 22 of the regulars on the repeater were seen in person, and I missed a few, I'm sure, also. So it was great to see everybody. We'll see you on during the net next on the Wednesday night net, and good turnout tonight. Great turnout of the fair representation at the Ham Fest over at Berryville, and let's do it again next year. Thanks again for doing that. Back to you, Steve. This is K1HTV.
Hey, thanks, Reg. K1HTV, WD8QCN with the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net. Take one last call for additional check-ins. Please call down. All right, very good. Well, we had a total of 16-plus years truly here tonight, so it's a good turnout given that it was a ham fest weekend. So thank you all for checking in. I'll go ahead and close the net here. Stand by. This is WD8QCN, Net Control for the FARA Net. Thanks again to everyone for joining us this evening. If you'd like further information regarding tonight's discussion or information on FARA, please see our website at w4va.org or send an email to faranet@w4va.org. WD8QCM closing the FARNET and return the repeater to normal amateur use. Thanks again to everyone who joined us, and have a great evening. 73.
Whiskey 4, Mike Alpha Foxtrot, disconnected.
KJ7APV, radio check.
KJ7APV, WD8QCN, sounds better now.
WD8QCN, KJ7APV, thank you. For some reason, my HDs are both acting funny. Maybe they got hit by some kind of EMF. My programming all failed on my small bowel thing, and my motion keeps talking to me inappropriately, saying it's channel mode while I'm trying to transmit. Do you have any clues of why that behavior might be happening?
I would take the battery off and put it back on and see if it still does it. Just kind of do a reset on it. I don't know. Channel mode should be, you know, recall memories. So if you've got the memories programmed correctly, it should work, I would think. But we heard you check in on the net, but you got a couple words in, then you kind of dropped out. So it sounded like you were mobile or moving around with the HT, maybe.
No, that was the channel mode interruption. So I did try to reset the battery, and both HTs are fully recharged. Let me try wiping out the memory and reprogramming the motion. Couple of times, but then I found out that my small bowl thing would still be wiped out. So I wasn't even hitting the repeater, and now I am since I reprogrammed it. So, back to you.
K1HTV. Rich, when you're having failures, is that definitely battery issues? Because the other thing that could happen is when one station passes it over to you, there's a brief period of time where the other station is allowed to be allowed to transmit without a PL tone. And after a fraction of a second, it'll stop transmitting. Now, you would have no way of knowing that, but it appears that when it failed, you knew that it failed. It almost seemed like it was a battery. But other times, when you can start transmitting, but never go beyond a couple words after somebody passes it over to you, could be that the PL is not properly set. So, but I think you said the other issue, it appears that the issue is more of a battery operated. A low battery operation problem. Is that the what you think the cause is? Over.
For the lotion, no. At least the indicator is that the battery is pretty well charged, and I did fully recharge it, but I'm still getting the same symptom of it being interrupted with the voice saying channel mode. So why don't I just reset and try that again on the lotion, and I'll do a radio check in a few minutes after I get that taken care of. It doesn't seem like the battery, but maybe there is something wrong with the battery. Maybe I just need to go ahead and buy that backup battery anyways and see if that fixes the problem.
Okay. It sounds more of an operational error. Something's not programmed right. Are you in the channel mode, or are you in the VFO mode on the Woshan?
Usually I operate in channel mode, so yeah, it was channel mode.
You may want to go to the VFO mode, set everything up, and put it on a different channel. Just leave what you have there now, and then go to VFO, set the PL tone, set the high, plus high, set the, you know, the transmit frequency, your receive frequency, etc., and then program it into a different channel and see if you have the same issue. But go through everything. Of course, you have to do that. You can't do that while you're in the memory mode. A lot of folks think they do everything. They forgot to put the PL on. They go to the memory channel, and they try to program the memory, program the PL while in the memory channel, and you can't do that. You have to do it all through the VFO, then store it into a memory. And I notice also on some of the radios, I believe the both.